In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Wednesday, November 4th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. On Sunday, Christians from around the world joined in an international day of prayer. The persecution watchdog group, Open Doors, featured several Christian witnesses on its live webcast and fielded questions from social media. Open Doors President David Curry said persecution around the world has dramatically increased because of ISIS, Boko Haram, oppression in North Korea, and a host of others. The World View spoke to Todd Nettleton of Voice of the Martyrs. He said their website, iCommitToPray.com, helps teach people how to pray.
We need to be praying every week. We need to be praying every day for our persecuted family. And Voice of the Martyrs has some tools to help you do that. We've got an app for your iPhone or your Android phone that will remind you, will give you a new request every day. We've got a website, iCommitToPray.com, that every week we post new prayer requests. So I just want to encourage people. Absolutely, the International Day of Prayer is an incredibly important day, but it's one day, and we need to pray every day.
The Apostle Paul asked for prayer, saying, "Pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men." 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2. Deliver our brothers and sisters, Lord, indeed. Iranian filmmaker Kewan Karimi, a 30-year-old of Kurdish origin, was sentenced to 6 years in prison and 223 lashes for criticizing Islam. He was charged with, quote, insulting religious sanctities in his films, propagating against the ruling system, unquote. At least 20 Christians are being held in what is called black jail in China, causing some to see a return to a totalitarian regime on its citizens. According to Texas-based human rights organization China Aid, the detained include a number of church pastors and deacons, as well as human rights lawyer Zhang Kai, who has been missing since his arrest in August. Zhang is one of almost 300 human rights lawyers arrested since July. 1,700 church buildings have been destroyed. European Union leaders assigned 15,000 mainly Syrian refugees to Spain recently, as a first step to address Europe's refugee crisis. Some in Spain fear the wave of Syrian refugees will bring more Muslim influence to a country where radical Islam has made inroads, but one Spanish ministry is eagerly welcoming them. A Christian leader, sharing the message of Christ with Muslim refugees for 3 years, said, "Our experience is that they come to the Lord fast. They say, 'We are here because Islam put us here and broke our family and broke our country,' and they open very fast. As Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Not surprisingly, a new study shows a religious childhood can help prevent the likelihood that an individual will develop a drug or alcohol addiction. According to Christianity Today, a research paper recently published in the academic journal Religions found that devotional practices, regular church attendance, and belief in religious doctrines or values can help guard teens against the temptations of drug and alcohol abuse. Ephesians 5:18 reminds us, "Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." A viral video of a drunken, angry man assaulting his Uber driver resulted in the man being fired from his corporate job at Taco Bell, the company said Monday. 32-year-old Benjamin Golden, seen mercilessly abusing driver Edward Caban, had his bell rung by his employers when they saw the altercation posted to YouTube. "Be sure, your sins will find you out," says Numbers 32:23. "They might just find you out on YouTube." Reverend Canon Andrew White, commonly known as the Vicar of Baghdad, lauded for his bravery while serving as Vicar of St. George, the only Anglican church in Iraq, is calling for the death of ISIS militants. More than 1,200 people who have worshipped with White in Baghdad have been killed, including one 5-year-old church member whom White baptized, who was cut in half by jihadists. With resolve, White said, "You are asking me how we can deal radically with ISIS? The only answer is to radically destroy them. It is a terrible thing to say as a priest." White joins a chorus of religious leaders, including the Vatican, calling for all-out war. Turkey's Islamist-rooted AK Party swept to an unexpected victory in elections on Sunday, returning the country to single-party rule. There are still no answers why Russian airliner KGL-9268 crashed, killing 224 on Saturday, but Pentagon officials say it was not possible it was shot down, as ISIS is claiming. Candy Crush, one of the world's most popular mobile video games, is set to sell for $5.9 billion to Guitar Hero and Call of Duty owners Activision Blizzard. A new survey says for the first time that Democrat voters' largest single religious group, those who are not religious. 28% of Democrats are in a category, interestingly, called the Nones, N-O-N-E-S, made up of atheists and agnostics. This makes perfect sense, since their platform is opposed to the Word of God. What does not make sense is that still 21% of their voters identify as Catholic and 16% as evangelical. Wake up, Christians! And that's The World View on this Wednesday, November 4th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, homeschool father of five, also a pastor out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack in studio, Worldview guy, Worldview Academy.
Yeah, good, I'm here. Yeah, it's good to be in the bunker.
All right, today we're going to talk about the end of the world as we know it.
Yeah, that's why we're in the bunker.
That's right, that's why we're in the bunker. But, you know, it's interesting. This is Heritage Foundation. And Heritage Foundation, I talk about Heritage Foundation, you think immediately, that's a pretty good place. Huh? Yeah. I mean, it's respectable.
Yeah, I think of you. I think of, you know, gloom and doom and catastrophe and apocalypse, and you're just telling us that the world's coming to an end. But if you're going to reference Heritage, then I guess I should listen.
Yeah, you should pay attention, because Heritage Foundation is probably...
Because they're even-handed. You're not. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm way out there. Tinfoil hat.
Yeah.
Whole thing.
I like it. It's very becoming, very fetching on you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But not so Heritage Foundation. Heritage Foundation is not a tinfoil hat organization.
No.
Would you say that?
I would say that they've got a good reputation.
They do.
Yeah.
They have a very good reputation, and they always have.
Mm-hmm.
They have very good data, and I tend to follow their data and believe it and quote it. Now, so I'm on Heritage Foundation site last night, and I happen to find this article from Dr. James Carafano. Now, he's a PhD.
Got a piled higher and deeper after his name.
Yeah. So this is not tinfoilhat.com.
But what's his PhD in?
I have no idea.
But anyway, that makes a difference.
Here's the article. Yeah. The article, Heritage Foundation, and here's how it starts. An electromagnetic pulse, EMP attack, represents one of the greatest threats imaginable to the United States and the world. An EMP occurs when a nuclear device is detonated high in the atmosphere, a phenomenon of which America's enemies are well aware. The electromagnetic discharge can permanently disable the electrical systems that run nearly all civilian and military infrastructures. A massive EMP attack on the United States would produce almost unimaginable devastation. Communications would collapse. Transportation would halt. Electrical power would simply be non-existent. Not even a global humanitarian effort would be enough to keep hundreds of millions of Americans from death by starvation, exposure, or lack of medicine. Nor would the catastrophe stop at U.S. borders. Most of Canada would be devastated, too, as its infrastructure is integrated with the U.S. power grid. Without the American economic engine, the world economy would quickly collapse. Much of the world's intellectual brain power, half of it is the United States, would be lost as well. Earth would most likely recede into the new dark ages. Now, that sounds a little tinfoil hat to me.
It's conspiracy
theory.
Man
alive, is Heritage Foundation turning into a bunch of preppers or what?
Yeah. Have they gone off the rails here?
Surprises me. I'm shocked. I read this article, and he gets into the, you know, the E2E1 thing. Electromagnetic pulse consists of three components. E1 is the free field energy pulse that occurs at a fraction of a second, the generated electromagnetic shock that damages, disrupts, and destroys electronic systems in a near simultaneous time frame over a very large area. Faraday cage protection and other mechanisms designed to defend against lightning strikes will not withstand this assault. On and on and on it goes. There's F1, there's F2, E1, E2, and all this. Anyway, I'm not going to follow through all the science of it, but Heritage Foundation is carrying this thing and saying this attack is a unique and unprecedented threat to the United States. EMP is a high-intensity burst of electromagnetic energy caused by the rapid acceleration of charged particles. It seems like they know what they're talking about, is all I'm saying. And I have heard this for many years. Apparently, there have been several experiments.
Right.
The Russians did a couple. The United States did one or two as well. And it was over the Pacific Ocean, I think. So they've done these tests. They know what it can do to technology.
So the bottom line is that they say that the Earth would most likely recede into
the new dark ages.
New dark ages.
Yeah. They say this would be devastating, incredibly devastating. Now, I'm going to get to the spiritual application of this in just a moment. I'm going to draw in some of the Word of God on this. But here is Vice.com. And by the way, these articles are coming out this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just interesting. This is just the last 2 to 3 months. Heritage Foundation, Vice.com, other organizations are sounding the alert for the EMP attack. This kind of thing can happen with Iran. It can happen with North Korea. It can happen with a terrorist organization. Vice.com says Peter Pry, director of the bipartisan congressional commission called the EMP Task Force, seems to think this is a serious problem. He went on Fox News this week to say that 9 out of 10 Americans could die from starvation, disease, and societal collapse if the blackout lasted a year. Pry isn't the only one worried. In a letter to investors last year, billionaire hedge fund manager Paul Singer warned that EMPs are now the most significant threat to American security. How could a terrorist organization engineer an EMP attack? They would have to buy or make a lightweight atomic bomb that has plentiful gamma ray emission, leaving off the heavy metal casing. By the way, I hope there aren't any terrorists listening or reading. Maybe we shouldn't be reading this.
No.
Well, he just says that you can do it with a bomb that would weigh about 200 pounds. He says you don't need a long-range missile. He says a rocket can be carried in a truck assembled someplace near the center of the country. It would be like Kansas, I suppose. And it would be it'd have to be a sounding rocket. A relatively small and cheap commercial sounding rocket can carry 200 pounds to a height of 300 miles. Such a rocket can be carried in a truck and assembled someplace near the center of the country. No precision guidance is necessary, only a fusing device to detonate the bomb at the correct altitude. Anyway, on and on it goes. Wow. All I can say is wow.
What, so
we are vulnerable, and I think that's the word that okay, tinfoil hat aside, does everybody know that we are vulnerable? Not because of terrorist organizations. Now, God uses terrorist organizations, and he can. He can use the tiniest little thing to break down the system. I'm going to ask you for an example of this because you just told me one off air. But here's the verse. Here's the verse. Listen carefully. The heathen raged. Now, has that ever happened? Is that happening? The heathen raging against God?
Yeah.
The heathen raging. The Constantly. Supreme Court of the United States.
Yeah. Heathens.
E.G.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good example. The heathen raged. They abort. They kill kids right and left. They completely abandon the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom, especially when they lead gigantic nations like this, because who needs the fear of God? We've got all the arrogance, all the pride we need to keep this thing going. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. God just clears his throat.
Mountains crumble.
He clears his throat. He utters his voice, the earth melts.
Hmm.
Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. Now, you know, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, come on, come on, come on. Yeah, God wouldn't do that to us. God's not that powerful. God's really kind of disconnected with what we're doing right here.
God's an American. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes
God
us.
God bless America. We've said that a number of times. So, of course, he's going to bless America. He is an American.
Yeah.
He's American. You need to say American.
Yeah.
God's American.
He is. He probably drives a pickup truck with a flag on the back.
Yeah. Vote Obama.
Yeah.
Or vote Boehner or something.
Something.
Yeah. Something. All right. It turns out God's not an American.
Nope.
God is the creator of heaven and earth. God is the holy God. And he dwells in unapproachable light. He is completely just, completely holy. And good. And he is true to himself. All right. You know, I'm going to take a break here, Bill, because there's a lot to say here. And we're going to talk about how to be a prepper. And not in the sense of the Heritage Foundation. The Heritage Foundation is here's how to be a prepper. Here's how to defend the nation on a national basis. This is how we prepare. And that's where they go with these stories. Is that, okay, this is how you take the nation and you put $40 billion into, I don't know, looking for terrorist organizations with 200-pound nuclear devices coming into the nation or something. That's the Heritage Foundation's view of prepping. And yet we're not going to go to the libertarian anarchical approach either, where the individualist is saying, you know, they take away my surface-to-air missile when they pry it from my dull, cold finger. We're not going to be preppers in that sense. We're going to be biblical preppers who continue to talk about these things. Important to talk about the EMP thing. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson.
Persecution against Christians is on the rise in Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, China, and now America. Religious freedom in America is no longer a foregone conclusion. Now is the time to bring religious liberties, parental rights, and freedom from big government to the forefront of consideration in the 2016 elections. Now is the time to stand. Get educated, equipped, and inspired at the Freedom Conference in Des Moines, Iowa, November 6th and 7th. Go to freedom2015.org to learn more. That's freedom2015.org.
And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, also Bill Jack in studios. We talk about the EMP attack. Man, we are so vulnerable. I don't think people understand, Bill, how vulnerable our nation is. And that's the way the Babels are. The Babels always build their towers so high they fall down. I like to use the illustration in my talks where the little boy, you know, the little four-year-old in the living room, he puts one little block on the next and the next and the next and the next and finally makes it like 4 feet air and he's got to get one more up there, you know, just the last one, the very, 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 very top. And guess what happens? You know, the building's already kind of wobbly, right? But you get that last one on the very, very, very top and what happens?
It crumbles.
It crumbles down, yeah. And that's what our leaders do. They centralize all the power in the world. They build all their great big old towers, you know, because they got this power-hungry centrist addiction thing going, you know. They're just like little four-year-olds in the living room.
Yeah.
Just got to put that last little block on the top.
Yeah.
And what happens?
It crumbles.
Yeah.
And that you know, there's another childhood toy called Weebles. Remember those? Weebles
wobble, but
they don't fall down.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's what man thinks, that he can build and it's not going to fall down. It may wobble, but it's not going to fall down. You know, just little things can bring an entire house down. This morning, I get up, I walk into the kitchen, and I see this kind of puddle coming out from underneath my refrigerator.
Yeah.
And I'm going, uh-oh.
The cat did something.
The cat knocked over the water dish, and I hope that's what it is.
Huh.
And then I thought, I better check. So I had to pull the refrigerator away from the wall. Now, it's a refrigerator that has an automatic ice maker and water dispenser in it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there's just a little, you know, little line that runs from the copper line, the water supply, downstairs. I tapped into it. I put this in and I drilled a hole in the floor, put the hose up, attached it to the back of the refrigerator, tightened everything down when I installed the refrigerator last year.
And everything worked fine.
It works fine.
For about a year.
And then I pull the refrigerator out.
Yeah.
And the cat gets back there to help me, of course.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's my daughter's cat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But it's very helpful.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. She's real helpful.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
My
6-month-old beagle pup is helpful. Really helpful all the time, constantly.
Yeah. And I look at this little hose. You know, it's just it's a little bitty, just a, you know, piece of vinyl hose.
Mm.
And I see this little stream popping out. Pinhole.
Little pinhole.
The whole back of the wall is wet.
Oh, no.
The floor is wet.
So if you hadn't found that.
If I had been on vacation.
Yeah.
If I'd been gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
My whole house could have been flooded.
Yeah. Yeah.
With a pinhole in a water line.
And it would have destroyed the drywall.
The drywall.
Would have
baseboard.
Destroyed some of the studs, the baseboard, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Could have gotten mold.
Yep. And then you'd have to take the whole thing down.
Yes.
Remember a family who left a chicken in a pressure cooker all day long. They forgot all about it.
It was a dead chicken, I hope.
It was pretty dead by the time they got back. In fact, it was so dead, it was all over everything.
Oh.
It was all over the kitchen. It was all over the living room. It was all over the bedrooms. Oh. It made its way through the fumes into every little nook and cranny, all the drywall, all the way back into the studs. They even tried tearing all the drywall out. Didn't work. Finally, they got insurance to pay for an entire new house.
Really?
Now, that's a failure point. And the whole point is that you build your buildings and you got these failure points.
And it could be something like a pinhole in a water line to a refrigerator.
And think about the original Tower of Babel. Now, our Tower of Babel is largely technology.
Yes.
We have a huge Tower of Babel built on technology. And everybody loves it. And everybody just, they follow it. They rely on it. And it's their deal. And everybody's plugged into it. Okay, so
bits
our
and
technology
bites.
Is now our Babel, but the old Babel is made out of bricks from the bottom up.
Yeah, think about that. Think about the technology involved in putting together the bricks that would hold that much weight.
Yeah, they didn't have websites and they didn't have computers back then.
No,
but they had
bricks, and the bricks were the technology that they relied upon to hold all this weight of this huge tower.
Mm. Huge.
But technology can come in various forms.
But then what happened to that tower? Do you remember what happened to that tower? It kind of came down. It kind of came down.
Did it come down or was it just abandoned?
It was sort of abandoned, but...
Because there was this big bad pulse called God.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't think I'm going to have any of this.
It was the God pulse. It wasn't the electromagnetic pulse. The God pulse got involved. And it came down. Well, the same thing's going to happen, friends, again and again throughout history. And here's there's a lot of reasons why. Okay, people say, well, why would God do that? We're Americans.
God's American.
Let me give you some reasons why God is going to have to apologize to Tyre and Sidon and Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's make a list just for a second. I just think it's important for Christians to review these things. Why would this tower come down? Why would the nations rage, God utter his voice, and the earth melt? Why would that happen now? And why would God have to apologize to Tyre and Sidon and Sodom and Gomorrah? Here's one reason, is because America has become one of the most murderous nations in the world. Americans, we've killed 60 million children by surgical abortions, and probably close to 60 million, maybe 100 million more by abortifacients and other means. People, again, they don't want to say, yeah, I use abortifacients, you know, occasionally, I'm sure one of the little babies breaks through into the womb but doesn't implant because, you know, we've found a way to make it a real harsh environment such that, that baby won't implant. Because the whole idea is that we don't like babies and we just assume our babies die. Now, most people don't say that in America.
No.
And even people having abortions, I'm just removing a little fetal tissue here, you know. They don't want to admit it. But friends, it's time to admit it. America is a murderous, selfish, existentialist nation living for themselves, and they will murder whatever they want to murder in order to make their lives as nice as they can for themselves.
Not unlike Nazi Germany.
Yeah. Moreover, America is involved in the trafficking of baby body parts. And yeah, okay, a little bit of that's going on in China. We've known that. We've known they process all kinds of baby body organs. We've recorded some of those stories. In fact, I think there's some cannibalism that happens. People use baby body parts in China for cannibalistic purposes. And my understanding is they may be doing that in America as well, but that, of course, is not going to be as well published as the stories about Planned Parenthood. But the trafficking of baby body parts completely under the support of the United States federal government. And they say, well, no, wait. They don't get a whole lot of money. They get like $60 from some of these private concerns for selling these baby body parts, the kidneys, the livers, you know, and so forth and so on. But they do get subsidized $500 million by your tax dollars. Just keep that in mind. So, again, America as a nation is subsidized. Your tax dollars, you write a check every year to the United States federal government, and they use a portion of that money to be sure that Planned Parenthood has a strong enough infrastructure that they can continue killing babies and trafficking their parts. That's the bottom line, friends. So Americans kill, Americans murder, Americans shed innocent blood, and you do this survey of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, you're going to find that one of the reasons why God kills and brings down these murderous nations is because of the way that they are murderous and they shed innocent blood. Also, the Republican leadership, you say, well, it's just the Democrats. No, it's the Republicans. It's the Republicans. Some say it's the Republicans all over again. You heard that before? It's Republicans all over again.
Republicans.
The Republican leadership joined with the Democrats in the budget deal last week. It was total collusion and not a word about Planned Parenthood funding. Nobody cared about the babies. No. The whole idea is that we can spend more money killing. We want to kill as many people as we possibly can. We want to be as murderous as we possibly can be as a nation. And of course, the Republican leadership joined with all the Democrats. I don't think they had any Democrats that backed out of the budget deal. Once they got 30 to 40 of the moderate Republicans, you know, and you set aside the Rand Paul. Rand Paul got 19 minutes to do his little filibuster thing, his silly little filibuster. I think that's what it's referred to in the mainstream media. Okay, so Rand Paul gets 19 minutes on the filibuster. That's not much of a filibuster, guys. And why is that? Because our nation loves killing babies and trafficking their parts. That's why. Americans are all about just keeping the money flowing. And by the way, the debt spending as well. They're upping the debt ceiling for the next 2 years. Because, you know, we're just about spending our great-grandkids into debt while we're killing half of them.
Yeah,
we're spending our great-grandkids into debt while we're killing the other half of them.
The ones we don't kill, we make them slaves.
Yeah. Okay, so that's our nation. So why does God have to apologize to Tyre and Sidon? It's because we're a murderous nation. It's because of Obergefell. Because that's exactly what happened to Sodom. Sodom and Gomorrah, it was all out. The entire city was all out, all about homosexuality. Wasn't like there was any restraint outside. It wasn't like the civil magistrate. It wasn't like the sheriff came down and said, hey, guys, stop all this sodomy stuff. Okay, let's back off of the sodomy. Wasn't happening in Sodom and Gomorrah, guys. The entire city came out to try to, you know, engage in a little bit more anonymous sexual activity, which is what many homosexuals love to do. But anyway, Obergefell, another example of how the United States federal government has at the very, very, very top said, let's approve of the most despicable form of sexuality, the most aberrant form of sexuality ever invented by man. And not to mention the greed, the materialism, the self-worship, the worship of money. And there's no fear of God at all in governments, as far as I can tell. When was the last time you sensed in reading a newscast that somebody, some politician, actually feared God?
You know, I think I've told you this before, but I've started having students ask people, do you fear God?
Yeah.
And it's amazing because people literally, physically take a step back when they're asked that
almost
question.
Every time.
Almost every time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the answers are usually, well, I respect him, but I don't fear him.
Yeah.
Well, you better.
And the fear of God is not basic. It's not fundamental. People walk into those legislative chambers, guys, start talking about, shall we kill more babies and how many baby body parts shall we traffic? And how much should we spend, you know, subsidizing the trafficking of baby body parts? You know, maybe not, you know. Again, the fear of God is not the beginning of that conversation. Neither is it the beginning of knowledge in the education classrooms. And when the Supreme Court of the United States said, we don't want no stinking God or fear of God or prayer to God or any kind of worship of God or any kind of gratitude towards God. We don't want any of that in American public school classrooms. You talk about science, you don't dare mention God. You talk about history, you don't talk about the works of God. You don't dare fear the true and living God. In education, friends, education's turned into 99% and 44% 100% pure hubris. It's hubris to the core. And this is why God's bringing this down. Now, I promised you I'd talk about godly prepping. So what do? Be a godly prepper. Here's what you do. You get the book of Proverbs, and you give your children the book of Proverbs as the very basic structure for their knowledge, their education. because that's God's curriculum. Teach your children the fear of God as the beginning of knowledge. Teach your children the fear of God before the great cataclysm so your kids will know who did it. It wasn't the North Koreans that brought the EMP pulse. It wasn't Iran, and it wasn't a terrorist organization. So if you have taught your children the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, when you look down over Denver, you see the plumes of the nuclear bombs that have just destroyed Denver, or just brought the EMP pulse over Kansas and destroyed the entire infrastructure of an entire nation. 90% or 95% of Americans will starve to death. Okay, your children need to know. Your children need to know. Who did that? Who did it? Who did it? And if you've taught them the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge for the last 15 years of their lives, they're going to know who did it.
And they're going to worship him.
That's right. And they'll be okay. See, that's the basic stuff. Now, I haven't even talked about how much wheat to store in your basement. I haven't even bothered with that.
No. Or how much tinfoil you need to have hats for all your kids.
Yeah. Just the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom is all you'll need. I don't know, Bill, you got anything else? And people are going to say, now, wait a minute. I was going to make a list. You know, I had my notebook out here, and all this guy gave me was a book of Proverbs and the fear of God. What's the deal with this? You know, I'm supposed to get some guns, and I'm supposed to have some bullets, and I'm supposed to not be relying upon the internet and upon all my electronics, and I probably ought to know how to farm and how to, I don't know, at least have a garden, and maybe I ought to have a little wheat stored in the basement, and then. Okay, if you want to do that, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Whatever.
So you're going to last a month longer than your neighbor.
Yeah. Yeah, go
ahead. Until your neighbor finds out you've got it, and then he's going to come get it.
And then this people are going to say, well, how do you rebuild society? May I suggest to you the book of Proverbs, you know, the word of God?
Fear
if
of the
you
Lord.
Pull together the last group of neighbors left, bring out the word of God, you know, teach the entire word of God. And be sure that you teach the book of Proverbs to your children, because that's God's curriculum. And that's also why we handle a Bible study guide series. It's a three-volume series where mom and dad can read this, and we go through every single verse, and we dig out every little treasure you can find in the book of Proverbs as best as we possibly can with discussion questions and application questions as well. And those family Bible study guides available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Be sure that you give your children the book of Proverbs. If you have children, and if you'll provide an education to your children, I'd recommend the book of Proverbs to you. And we've got our study guides available at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, also in studio. And we want to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.